like to call this meeting to order, please. And I'd like to ask Marilyn O'Brien from the League of Women Voters to lead us in the pledge, please. Could we all stand?
Can you all see the flag up there? Right hand over your heart and ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, would you lead the roll call, please?
Shirley Carey.
Here.
Mary Furman.
Here.
Sheila Hennis.
Here.
Karen Freeman.
Here.
Dean McCormick.
Here.
Carolyn McInerney. Joanne Purcell.
Here.
James Reed.
Here.
Robert Singer. Virginia Wilson.
Here.
Seeing that there is a quorum present, we will proceed with the meeting. Do I hear a motion for approval of the minutes of December the 10th, 2008? Second. Motion from Mrs. Wilson. Second from Mrs. Beneke.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear a little bit less. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstaining? Okay, well, they'll go as written then. I want to welcome all of you for tonight. This is a very important hearing for all of us, and this is the first time this group has been together since the petition has been written, and so we're delighted to have you here. We want to hear all sides of this issue and take all of your input, and so we look forward to that. Before we get started, though, I thought it would be appropriate to give you some information about what the committee is about and who we are and what we do. So, first of all, who serves on the committee? There are 11 of us. 10 of us represent supervisorial districts, and one serves at large. We're elected by a voting representative of each school district and the community college districts. They rotate for 4 years, and they serve without pay. They're not necessarily members of a school board. The general responsibilities of the committee are three. We make decisions regarding organization and reorganizations of a district. We transfer territories between districts and the number of trustees and how they're elected. The committee conducts public hearings pursuant to the legal timelines and the requirements of the committee, maintains neutrality, evaluating proposals without any kind of bias. So tonight, we have, I think, 9 of us here serving with a quorum, so we can go ahead and open the public hearing, and I will just officially do that. This public hearing has been called pursuant to Education Code 5019, which states that when a proposal is made, such as to adopt one of the alternatives, rather than electing the governing board members, the county committee shall call and conduct at least one hearing in the district on the matter. The purpose of this hearing is to obtain information from chief petitioner, affected school district, and the local community to assist the county committee members in making its determination regarding the proposed change in the election process. To facilitate tonight's public hearing, we provided sign-up cards for the people who wish to address the board regarding the changes of the method of election. Please submit your cards to David Wilson, who's sitting over here. The public comments will be given in order that the cards were submitted, and we will be accepting them up until the time that the chief petitioner and the school district makes the presentation. After that, we will determine how much time is allotted, because we've limited it to an hour of public comment period of time. So you need to make sure your card is in after those two things have happened. At tonight's meeting, attendees will have two opportunities to speak, once during the public comment sections of the public hearing regarding the election change, and the other will be at the end of the meeting, and the audience members can address any topic that is not on the agenda. As at the regular board meetings, you know that the county committee members cannot engage in any discussion or take action on any item that's not already on the agenda. At this time, I would like to ask Dr. Wendy Benkert, Secretary of the County Committee, to give a staff report on the proposal that is before the County Committee.
Thank you, Shirley. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to talk a little bit about the process. On Wednesday, July 1st, 2009, a group of citizens from the Capistrano Unified District submitted petitions and signatures to the County Committee on School District Organization in order to initiate the process to change the method in which the school board members are elected. Currently, the Capistrano Unified School District has 7 trustees who must reside in the trustee area they represent, but who are elected by the registered voters of the entire school district. This is referred to as from trustee area method of election. The petitioners would like to change the method of elections so that the trustees are only elected by the registered voters of their respective trustee areas. This is referred to as by trustee area method of election. On Monday, July 20th, 2009, the signatures on the petition were validated by the Registrar of Voters regarding the County Committee to hold a public hearing on the matter. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the County Committee must approve or disapprove the proposal. If the County Committee approves the proposal to change the method of elections, an election shall be called for an established election date no later than November 2nd, 2010. On Monday, August 10th, 2009, the Capistrano Unified Board of Trustees passed a resolution requesting the County Committee on School District Organization to change the method of election from the from trustee area method to the by trustee area method. Although the resolution indicates that the Capistrano Unified Board of Trustees is in favor of changing the method of elections, the board is petitioning the County Committee to consolidate the election with the November 2nd, 2010 governing board member elections. If the voters approve the change in the method of elections on November 2nd, 2010, the change would be effective for the 2012 board elections. If the County Committee approves the proposal to change the method of election, it also needs to set the date for the election on the proposal, which shall be no later than the next succeeding biennial election for members of the governing board. The County Committee's resolution to change the method of elections constitutes an order of an election. In other words, the County Committee must choose a date for the election that is no later than November 2nd, 2010, the date of the next election for the Capistrano Unified School District Trustees. The election on the proposal to change the method of elections will be considered a special election, as there are no specific dates set forth in the law for this type of election. However, Election Code Section 1002 does not require the election to be held on an established election date, or does require the election be held on the established election date, either June 8, 2010 or November 2nd, 2010. So there's just a choice of the two dates. We have contacted the Orange County Register of Voters to request cost estimates for possible election dates. We were informed that if the election is held on June 8, 2010, the cost will be between $403,177 and $496,465. We were also informed that if the election is held on November 2nd, 2010, there is already a board election on that date. The additional cost would be $8,500. The California School Boards Association recently took a survey of the K-12 school districts in California and inquired as to how the governing board members were elected. Approximately 24% of the schools responded to the survey. The results of the survey show that 76% of school districts that responded to the survey elect their governing board members by way of at-large elections. 24% of school districts have trustee areas. 10% of the districts with trustee areas elect their governing board members using the from trustee area, and 14% of school districts that respond to the survey have trustee areas elect their governing board members using the by trustee area method of election. The survey was anonymous. anonymous. Therefore, data concerning the size and name of the districts are not available. With regard to the county committee's decision whether or not to approve the proposal to change the method of election, I would note that the education code does not contain specific criteria to apply in determining whether to approve such a proposal. Tonight, the county committee members can either adopt a resolution to approve the proposal and order an election to be held on June 8, 2010, or November 2, 2010. They can also disapprove the proposal or vote to continue the public hearing at a later date. Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you, Dr. Beckham. All right. Next, we will adopt the guidelines for tonight's public hearings and for the board members. It looks like you have a copy of it. It's proposed that we will allocate 20 minutes to the chief petitioner, 20 minutes to the representatives of Capistrano Unified and the governing board, and up to 1 hour for public comment. Included in your agenda are the proposed public hearing guidelines for your consideration. When you are ready, I would like to ask for a motion to adopt the public hearing guidelines as written.
Second.
The first was, motion was by Mrs. Wilson, and the second was by, okay. Did you get this?
Sarah? Second.
We got a first and a second. All in favor of saying, of accepting them as written, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And anyone opposed? Okay, without is passing, and so we will proceed. For the audience, that you, again, as I said, make sure that if you have public comment questions, you get those into Mr. Wilson. Following the chief petitioner's comments, we will not be accepting more cards after that period of time, and we will divide up the hour based on the number of cards that we have. So if there's 20 cards and we have 60 minutes, you'll get 3 minutes. If we have 30 cards, you'll get 2 minutes, and on. So just keep that in mind as we go through this process. Okay, so the hearing then will proceed with the first person. Talking will be the chief petitioner, and we have three people who want to make that presentation. That's Sharon Cotton, Marilyn Amato, and Kevin Coe. So if you would come forward to explain that.
Presentation. Thank you. Thank you very much, committee, and we would like to first thank you for the time that you serve on this committee and for the opportunity to be here before you this evening to present our petition. This is going to be a problem. I'm not used to the laptop. Is this your copy? No. What is this? Oh, the borough manager. Okay. For the board members, it's the one with the brownish color, can-colored front.
I just want to note that I stop the time until presentation's ready.
As you had already introduced us, my name is Erin Kuttner.
I'm Kevin Kerwin.
And we are the three chief petitioners that are on the name of the petition. However, we are representing a group of about 30 constituents who actually work together to gather these signatures. And we are also part of a growing group that we have a huge support base throughout our district of people who are looking for making this change. We are a nonpartisan coalition of parents, teachers, and concerned constituents, and we are committed to public education and very supportive of local control.
Tonight we are here to present the petition for the change in the way that we elect trustees. That petition was certified by the Orange County Register of Voters, and it was certified. And we are here to ask you for your approval for this petition so that we can change the way we elect trustees in Capistrano Unified. This petition represents the public will of the people, and it confirms our desire for better representation, more local control, and reduced costs. We would like you to put this voting change on the ballot for the June 2010 election. June 8, 2010. For those of you that are not familiar with Capistrano Unified, I put this together so that you could see just a little bit more about our district and who we are. The most recent numbers I could find indicate we are the ninth largest school district in California out of about 1,000 school districts. We have over 220,000 registered voters and a population of at least 350,000 per 2006 numbers. We have 51,190 students, 56 campuses, 195 square miles, and as you know, 7 trustee areas. But not only are we a large district in population with 350,000 people, we are also a very large district geographically. 195 square miles is very large. We start at the South Orange County border in San Clemente, go all the way up through Aliso Viejo in the northwest, and to Rancho Santa Margarita in the northeast. CUSD has grown rapidly, building 31 new schools in the past 17 years. We have so many campuses that if trustees wanted to visit every single school in this district and could only make it to one a week, it would take more than a year to get to all of those schools. That's quite a bit of time. Why are we asking you to approve this change? As you mentioned, Ed Code Section 5019 states that the county committee may approve a proposal to adopt an alternative method of electing governing board members as specified in Ed Code Section 5030. The proposal to make the change may be issued by the county committee or by a petition, which is what we did. If approved by the county committee, it shall be presented to the electors of the district no later than the next succeeding election. But that means no later. It can certainly be done earlier. We believe that it's important to do this in June because we want this place in change. This change in place before November of 2010. We want to be able to elect our trustees locally in 2010. And if that goes on the ballot in November along with a trustee election, we believe it could be very confusing to the voters if they are voting on how they're going to elect and who they're going to elect. And confusion might end up with invalidated election results and people not understanding what they're doing. One of the huge benefits that will be ongoing for our district if we make this change is the cost savings. For the Register of Voters, I have up here the cost of the 2006 general election and the cost of the 2008 general election, along with the estimates of the money that would have been saved had we elected those in those elections by trustee area. In November 2010, the election costs are already estimated to be about $337,000. If we change the way we elect trustees prior to that, and we can reduce those costs by 52%, CUSD will save $175,000. Taking those numbers and estimates from the Orange County Registrar of Voters and extrapolating them out over the next several years with a modest 5% increase in voters, which we might actually see more, that stands for us to get an $844,000 savings over just the next 9 years. This is an ongoing savings money that our district can use in the classroom to better serve our students. Another place that we can save some money is in the cost to run. Currently, if you are a candidate and you want to run for school board in CUSD, you need to reach out to 220,000 voters. I put together a slide with some estimates, and when we changed the format, a couple of the numbers went sideways, but a ballot statement, one 8x10 color postcard that would reach every voter, some yard signs, a slate mailer, some ads, and miscellaneous costs to include newsletters, emails, buttons, etc., would add up to $112,000. that a candidate would need to run in order to just get their name out there. Because as you probably know, having run campaigns yourself, one postcard really doesn't do it. So that's the bare minimum you would need. Plus, of course, you need to have time to be into all of the precincts, all of the cities, and all of the areas to meet people. If you were to vote by trustee area only, and you were only running in your own area with an average of 30,000 voters, those costs are reduced significantly. To run the same exact type of campaign, you would only need $18,000. That's a difference of over $94,000 of money. And that is a huge amount of money for anyone to have to raise just to get their name out there for a school board trustee position, which, as you all know, is not very highly paid. Agreed. Another good reason that we want to change the way we elect trustees is for better representation.
Capistrano Unified is not the district it was when the previous trustees were serving. It grew under their stewardship, but slowly, school by school. Thus, they were able to be familiar with the needs of each school in the district. Our current board has inherited an enormous district covering the area of 195 square miles and 56 schools with significant needs. Many changes have been made necessary due to the budget restraints and administrative unrest. Parents have legitimate concerns. They need representation, and it is unrealistic to expect that our relatively new trustees, with their short tenure, be aware of all the issues at each school. This was made clear last spring when the master plan was presented to the trustees, and several did not even understand what they were viewing, since they had not had the opportunity to visit many of our schools. A specific case in point was when the Navasan Clemente High School was presented, trustees' questions regarding it showed none of them understood that the ninth grade facility stands on a hill above the main school, and it was actually a completely separate school. Yet knowing that there were two separate campuses was crucial information necessary to making a sound decision. We are also concerned because rather than having a trustee that represents a specific area and brings concerns to the board with necessary background information from district staff, currently is apparent that the school or community with the loudest voice, in other words, the one that is able to generate the most uproar, gets this board's attention. Our county board of supervisors is elected by areas, yet each member represents the county as a whole, just as with our state legislators. Should CUSD trustees be elected by trustee area, they too would be available to their own constituencies that represent the district as a whole. This would hold true even when trustee boundaries may, out of necessity, have to be changed due to an increase or decrease in population. In order to provide that the election of future trustees truly represents the constituencies of each trustee area, CUSD must change to voting by trustee area, and the issue must be placed on the June 2010 ballot. By doing so, it will allow voters to clearly identify and know the candidates for the trustee position representing their area. It will also enable each board member to establish himself as the trustee who most thoroughly understands the issues of the students and schools in his area. Placing this issue on the June 2010 ballot is the only method by which this change can take place before the November election.
In addition to better representation, we thought we would show you just a few reasons why we currently believe that the system in place is not giving us that.
These are some of the numbers that were required to win the trustee position for Area 3, which is completely encompassed by San Clemente. When I looked at the numbers, I realized that while the candidate was able to gather 14,000 votes in San Clemente, those numbers were overshadowed by Laguna Niguel and nearly by some other cities, which brought some concern to me in that it's very difficult for a candidate to maintain knowledge of the local area while still trying to appeal to such a large number outside that region. Similar to the way we have congressmen in Washington that represent our region, they're not elected by the country as a whole. the larger cities, plus some of the unincorporated areas of the county control some very large flocks, and they can essentially control each of the elections without concern for some of the local areas where the actual candidates are based. The other thing that's, as you saw from the large numbers of campaign mailers and other things that are required, candidates are being elected on slates rather than as individuals within a specific area. And the slate candidates tend to be funded by organizations, and again, I don't think they respond as well to local control. Also, it's possible for a candidate to win in their own area, but because they don't win in the outside areas, that area then ends up with the second choice candidate.
There are also some legal implications that have come into play in the last several years. The Civil Rights Voting Act was enacted in 2002, and it has allowed groups to challenge the at-large election system. So right now, districts in our state are bearing extraordinary costs if they are found to be in violation of the CVRA to the tune of millions of dollars. Even the county committee can sometimes be held liable. Our district cannot afford another lawsuit. In 2008, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights filed a suit against Madera Unified School District demanding an immediate move to buy trustee area elections. That suit came even though there are minorities represented on their board, and although they didn't agree with the allegations, the district voluntarily moved to the buy trustee area elections, but the LCCR is still demanding nearly $1.2 million in legal fees for that uncontested suit. It is a statewide trend. And in the information that was presented earlier, you had heard that about 24% of the districts in California have trustee areas, and it appears from the survey that more of them that do vote by trustee rather than from trustee. So it appears as though this is a trend that is coming, certainly in larger school districts. I think it's important that you know a little bit more about our trustee areas as well. This petition that's before you is about changing the way we elect our trustees. It's not necessarily about our trustee areas, although somehow that issue has come up. You were also given, in addition to the PowerPoint, some copies of minutes from the last time our school district studied, arranged, and adopted new trustee areas. The Capistrano Unified School Board of Trustees voted on new areas on November 17th of 2003. The staff report, which you have a copy of, specifically states, approximately once every decade, the Board of Trustees engages in an in-depth study of trustee area boundaries. The last time such a review occurred was in January 1992. With all of the growth in population since then, it was determined that such a review was warranted at this time. The resolution, which was number 0304-42, specifically states, whereas the School Board of Trustees of Capistrano Unified School District has determined that a redistricting of trustee areas is needed due to the extraordinary population growth over the past decade, and where the Board of Trustees has studied the distribution of the registered voters in the Capistrano Unified School District and has approved a plan of realignment of the district's seven trustee areas to provide a more balanced representation in each trustee area, etc., etc., here it be resolved. The language clearly shows that population was used in order to create the new trustee areas. You will notice on the staff report, which is Exhibit C, there are the seven trustee areas that lists the original numbers of voters in each one and then what was proposed. In there, it specifically states that areas 2 and 3, those numbers were intentionally left lower than the other trustee areas because those areas were still growing. There was more anticipated growth to come over the next few years. So clearly, just because the areas are identified by the number of registered voters, which is easy to obtain from the registrar of voters, it doesn't mean that they were only adjusted based on that number. Population was a huge factor because they were taking that into consideration. And then the very last slide, if you look here, you can see these are the most recent numbers from the registrar of voters on the number of registered voters in each trustee area. Those areas look very, very evenly matched. But you'll also know now that notice that areas 2 and 3 have the most trustees in them. That's the 33,518 and the 32,599. Those areas did continue to grow. They are no longer the smallest areas. If you read the minutes from the March 3, 2004 Orange County Committee of School District Organization meeting, under that staff report it says, after a lengthy study process, the Board of Education of CUSD adopted a resolution requesting that the County Committee study the proposed rearrangement of trustee areas for the district. The reason for this realignment is to equalize the population distribution in the 7 trustee areas. So I think that it's very important for you to understand that our trustee areas are very well balanced. I know that you received something last week from Mr. Kinsler that states that our areas are out of balance, but I must say that all of those numbers are based on the 2000 population census, and our district has grown dramatically since then. And so I do not believe that those numbers accurately depict anything that is going on in our district today. If you can look at the chart now, you can see our district trustee areas are very well aligned. While we do not argue that the areas will need to be realigned after the 2010 census, we don't believe that that has anything to do with this decision, nor do we believe it has to be done prior to adopting a change in the way we elect trustees. But even if it does, there's no good reason why that alignment cannot be accomplished in the next 13 months prior to the November 2010 election. Our district has simply grown too large to adequately serve the constituents with an at-large voting method. We have outside special interests that are funding and controlling our local elections. We have just grown too large, and the voters are completely left out of the process. Not necessarily the parents who are actively involved, but the other 75% of the voters who have no connection to the schools right now and don't know what's going on. With the current at-large voting system, we cannot attract candidates. If we cannot attract candidates, then we cannot vote for the best people. If we cannot vote for the best people, then we will not have the best school board. And without the best school board, we will not have the best education for our kids. So if you will approve a June 2010 ballot election, then we will go back to our school board and we will ask them to continue the waiver process to enact this change immediately to achieve local control, eliminate any liability from lawsuits, save hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to better serve the needs of our constituents. Thank you. One moment.
I can't see this clock at all. When you can, you give me a hand signal when we get to, if we get beyond the time.
Oh, there's the clock. Okay, I couldn't see any clock. I appreciate having that available. We want to stay close to the time limit and so that we have time later for questions. We've asked the committee to make a list of their questions and to not ask as we go, but just collect the questions, and we will ask each of the groups following all of the presentations so that we'll have equal amount of time for questions. So, again, the committee members are collecting the questions for the end of the presentation. We'll move first then to comments from the Capistrano Unified Board of Trustees, and I believe that's going to be Wayne Kinsler and someone that you may introduce yourself. I believe you can see this clock behind me, so if you just comply with that, we'd appreciate that. Thank you. And welcome tonight.
Is it testing? Yeah. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in front of the committee again. There's some familiar faces, some not so familiar faces. Few essays with a...
Thank you. I'm sorry. Let's see. And if we can get our projection going. Thank you, Michelle. If we go to the first slide. I want to thank the committee for giving us your time
the careful consideration and understanding that you are making a very important decision that is going to be of lasting significance to the voters, the residents, and the students of the Capistrano Unified School District. And it's not a decision that one makes lightly. Let me start first by our portion of the presentation and address some of it. Kathy Fields, who is with me, my associates here, will address some of the points made in the proponent's presentation. So basically, in front of you tonight, there are three alternatives. There is, one, the rejection or acceptance of the petition. There's the consideration of the necessity of making any change at all. That's a matter reserved to your discretion. And if you are still so inclined after considering the necessity of making the change, you also have in front of you the board's proposal, which would be to go to by trustee area elections, but not to do so until November 2nd, so after the November 2nd, 2010 election. And as you'll see in a moment, and as you should have seen in our statement of position, there are a number of legal, practical, and financial reasons why the decision should not, in fact, probably cannot be made until the November 2010 election. One of the things that's very noticeable about the petition is that it is silent as to the date. We would take the position that all you have in front of you is the petition. You can't amend it, you can't change it, because otherwise the people who signed the petition itself might not have signed that document. What the board's proposal has going for it is that it allows sufficient time for the necessary modifications to trustee areas, and I'll talk about that in a moment. The petitioner seemed to make light of the significance of that, and I think it's an important point to make clear to the committee and that make sure that you really understand that. What's really at stake here is making sure that the voters in this district decide this issue. This meeting is not the beginning of a campaign for anyone. It's simply a question for the committee as to whether or not there should be an issue placed on the ballot. The district proposal, the board's proposal, has the benefit of saving the district and its citizens the difference between a $497,000 special election in June and consolidating with the regular election in November, which only costs another $8,500. But before we launch into that, I want to address the second issue that we mentioned at the beginning, which is the advantages of the current system. That each member of the community has a say in the composition of the entire board. Unless you find that there's a very good reason to change that, I would submit to you that the status quo does work, and that has been proven out in any number of elections in this district. One of the other advantages that you will find quite apparent in any by-trustee or by-representative district is that you get deal-making, and that is inevitable. What you will see in the larger districts that have by-trustee area systems, you see no less politics going on. That doesn't change anything. In fact, you will see that usually those districts are the more political districts and probably less focused on education and the children. The other thing I would point out to you is that the district's schools, services, and operations are intertwined in ways is that will not lend themselves easily to a bi-trustee area system. Attendance patterns, for example, students may go to a school that would be in one trustee area, perhaps, or they, in fact, that occurs now with our current setup. Students will go to a school in one trustee area. They might go to middle school in a different place. They might go to a high school in a third place. There are other, even more complex issues related to facilities that are deeply intertwined, and where we have real significant issues with respect to representation. You simply cannot conclude without real empirical evidence that a bi-trustee area election results in better representation or accountability. That is not something that either the proponents or this side can say with certainty one way or the other. And that, in fact, is probably something left best eventually to the electorate. In terms of the board's proposal, it is does request that the election be ordered for November 2010. That allows time for the efficient development of lawful areas, avoids the time and expense of rearranging areas after the 2010 census, and smoothly gets you to an election in 2012. The current boundaries simply would not work in a bi-trustee area method. And I want to be very clear with the committee about this. There's been a lot out there saying, oh, we're saying that the current areas are illegal. In the context of an at-large system, they are not illegal. The point is that if you change to a bi-trustee area system, you're going to have to change the boundaries to make sure that you comply with the one-person, one-vote rule, and that is not based on the number of registered voters. That is based on total population. So that when the proponents presented to you that staff recommendation, it was very clear that it was based on registered voters, which is not the appropriate metric when determining the preparation of districts for a bi-trustee area system. And yes, it is also true that if there was the ability to change the districts for the November 2010 election, they would have to be redrawn again following the census. So the solution is put it in front of the voters November 10 and use a new system if approved in 2012. You've got a map here of the current systems, and this is where we get to one of the areas of contention, which is that if you were to rely on the current system, you have a total population deviation between the largest and smallest districts of 37.6%, which is not a number that any court is going to approve as consistent with the principle of one person, one vote. And you can see here those numbers, which are based on the 2000 census. And while it is true that there are other sources of numbers, any redistricting effort is going to have to be based on that 2000 census still, even as we come to the end of this decade. We talked about the equal protection problem and the one person, one vote. It's not implicated in the current format, but certainly does become relevant when we talk about the bi-trustee area system. Of course, we'll allow a total deviation of 10% or less, and 37.6% is just not going to, this is not going to cut it. The biggest problem, though, with a June 2010 election is that you cannot have proper trustee areas in place for a November 2010 election. If the committee were to order an election for June 8th, the registrar's office would have up to 28 days to certify the results, which would take you to July 6th. You would then have to redraw the election areas, gain this body's approval of those areas, and submit that information to the registrar of voters. You have to do that 120 days before the 2010 election, and that would, I'm sorry, that would be July 5th, 2010, not 2009. And then candidates would declare themselves based on the new areas by August 6th, 88 days before the election. So it is a temporal impossibility to bring about a change in the trustee areas in time for the 2010 election. And as we've talked about many times, we've got numbers ranging from close to $500,000 to versus $8,500 associated with the November 2, 2010 election. So again, if we go to an election in November 2012, we will have the census results. We'll have trustee areas developed in plenty of time with plenty of input from the community and can deal with many of the legal issues that are being presented in districts. I would submit that this district does not have some of the characteristics that are cited in some of the cases that the proponents refer to in their presentation. And so we conclude with the request that this body approve the board's proposal, that the voters decide in November 2010 at an additional cost of only $8,500, create new districts based on the 2010 census, and have the first election at 2012. That would be our request to the committee. I'm going to defer to Kathy if she would care to address some of the points raised in the proponent's presentation.
Thank you, and good evening, members of the committee. I'd just like to reiterate the cost savings by not taking this to the voters in June 2010. This was something that the petitioners simply did not address, the $500,000 that it would cost for a June 2010 special election on this issue, plus tens of thousands of dollars more to redraw the district boundaries in time, if that was even possible, which we submitted as not. And the boundaries will have to be drawn again in 2011 once the census results come out at additional cost. Yes, there would be savings in future elections if we went to a by-trustee area process, but that first chunk of $500,000 can be voided by simply putting this before the voters, and we don't in any way propose that you do not let the voters decide this issue, but by putting it before the voters in November 2010 rather than in June. The petitioners, as Mr. Kinsler noted, also ignore the chronological impossibility of establishing constitutionally sound trustee area boundaries prior to a November 2010 election. That process would have to begin well before we even knew if the voters wanted by trustee area election processes. Issue of the voters being confused by having this issue on the ballot along with some trustee elections, I don't think is a real issue. I think we trust the voters of this district to read their ballots and understand what they're voting for or against. State law requires ballot measures to be clearly explained. I agree with Mr. Kinsler's comment about other school districts with this type of election process by trustee area, that they are at least as politicized as any at-large election district. Consider Los Angeles Unified School District and ask yourselves, how political is that, and how much education is being done in that system, and whether it's any better for the students of the district than the at-large system that we've had in this district. And also, as Mr. Kinsler briefly mentioned, but I think I should emphasize, yes, the current trustee areas and population figures that we put up are based on the 2000 census, but drawing the trustee area boundaries for a 2010 election in November would also have to be based on the 2000 census, because that is the only census we have until 2011, when the 2010 census figures are received. We thank you for your time. It's Kathy, C-A-T-H-I-E, Fields, F-I-E-L-D-S.
Turn my microphone back on again. And your position?
I'm an associate with Atkinson, Endelson, Loyola Rudin, Romo, Mr. Kinsler's firm.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Kinsler, for your presentation.
Thank you, members of the committee, and we look forward to your questions at the appropriate time this evening.
And you're right, as I look back at the minutes from the last county committee meeting, and well, many of us were there. Thank you again. Again, we'll move on next to the comments from the audience members. And remember, no more cards will come forward after this in terms of public comments. And what I would suggest is that when we call the names, I'll call three. And if you come up and sit, we want to make sure that you use the microphone, that everybody listens carefully to each other. And we'll figure out how many are here.
24, 2.5 minutes each.
Okay, 2.5 minutes each. There are 24 people here, so I will go ahead and call those. There's a microphone there, that's fine. Okay, we'll have, if you line up along the wall here and then speak to this microphone, that would be very, very helpful. 2.5 minutes, watch the timers, and be sure to cut off at the 2.5 minute time. Will there be a buzzer at the 2.5 minute, Mr. Wilson? Is there a buzzer? Okay. All right. This is Fran Sutto, Kalani Conroy, and Ed Neely. If you would come forward and speak in that order, that would be very helpful. And if Kathy Godlinski, Sally Dicey, and Sherry Hassel, Salalo, we just sort of get ready. You would be the next three.
Good evening.
Speak your name clearly so that we'll know who is making the comments.
Okay, my name is Fran Sedeo.
Thank you.
A few years ago, a man was elected to a local school board, primarily because he listed his occupation as teacher. Voters had no additional information. There was none published in the voter's guide. His opponent described his longtime involvement in his children's schools and stated his occupation as park ranger. Voters assumed that a teacher they knew nothing about was more qualified to serve the children of their district than a park ranger. It turns out that teacher, as many of you know, was definitely not the best choice. How does somebody like that get elected? Voter apathy, ballot fatigue, maybe. How does a candidate like that reach out to voters to make his, how does a candidate like the involved park ranger reach out to voters to make his case? In Capistrano Unified, a candidate would need to reach out to almost 220,000 voters. Voting by trustee area would help. CUSD has 7 trustee areas. Each of these areas reflect a diverse population and community culture, from equestrian estates and beachfront homes to apartments crowded with multiple families, from more younger communities to aging communities with declining enrollment, from native Californians to children from more than 40 countries from around the world. This is Capistrano Unified. Home values may differ, but the common value we all share is that every child in this district deserves a quality education in our public schools. I believe my trustee should represent my community. Our founding fathers believed in representative government. My congressman represents my community, yet serves the nation as one voice out of 435. One trustee can represent a specific area, yet serve the entire district. My current congressman doesn't usually represent my position on issues, but I can let the other 434 know what I think. I can easily contact 6 other trustees to express my concerns. Each of our communities has its own group of well-known dedicated leaders. Whether they're a retired teacher or a retired CEO, coming up with more than $100,000 to run on a campaign for a position that promises little compensation and a lot of headaches is an enormous challenge and oftentimes a deterrent. Reaching local voters is costly. Campaigns are now based on catchy phrases crafted by PR firms. Qualifications and experience are secondary to fundraising abilities. Voting by trustee area would help to make the expense of a campaign more manageable.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Good evening. My name is Kaylani Conroy, and thank you for letting me speak to you this evening about changing the way we elect trustees in the CSD. I'm addressing you tonight because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that you might not approve this change and will not allow us to elect trustees by trustee area. I'm afraid if you do approve this change that you might place a vote on this issue on the November 2010 ballot instead of June 2010 ballot. I'm afraid for our children who are being held hostage by seven trustees that clearly are not qualified to be running the largest school district in the county. I'm afraid for the teachers, administrators, and other employees of the Capital District who are now looking for or found work in other districts. I miss the dedicated servants who have already left the district to find work elsewhere. I'm concerned for those who remain that are so intimidated that they are afraid to speak out of fear of losing their jobs or being transferred to positions within the district at huge pay cuts or worse. I'm afraid that our trustees will continue to make decisions based on inaccurate information supported by an inexperienced attorney that tells them what they want to hear. I'm afraid that our trustees will continue to promote a hidden and deceptive agenda manipulated by a handful of wealthy families who, by the way, just got richer at the expense of our students,
control their election paths and their agendas.
I'm afraid of the next 15 months and how much more damage these trustees can do in the school, our children's education, and the excellence that was Capistrano Unified. We need your help. The parents and voters are trying to correct our current situation, not by an expensive recall, as our current trustees and their political donors have done, but by seeking qualified candidates to run for the Board of Trustees. We are trying to turn fear into hope. Qualified candidates don't have much of a chance against political machines, deep pockets, and county political central committees. When trustees are elected by over 220 voters and in areas the size of our school district, we look to you to help us help our kids and our residents. We need local control and a fighting chance to take our schools back. Please help return sanity to our district. Please approve this change in the way we elect trustees. Please place this election for change on the June ballot so when the voters approve it, it will take effect in November. Please, I implore you, help us transform our fear into hope.
Thank you. Remember, if you are taking the time as you're clapping and hooting and hollering, you are keeping some of the information away from us that we'd like to hear. So I would suggest you refrain from interrupting the conversations here.
Good evening, all. My name is Ed Neely. I live in Dana Point. Both of my daughters attended Capistrano schools from kindergarten through high. For nearly 35 years, I was employed in the district as a custodian, painter, special education aide, teacher, and school administrator. Not all at the same time, except maybe as principal. My wife is a teacher in the district, and we are taxpayers. I strongly support moving our method of electing trustees from the at-large model to electing trustees by the vote of voters within their trustee areas, and to do this for the June 2010 election. During the recent petition drive, I collected signatures from both friends and strangers, and nearly all were surprised to hear that we did not already have this bi-trustee area model in place. The current model seems so undemocratic. As one petition signer put it, it's like allowing the voters in Fresno to vote for my state senator and assembly persons, like New Yorkers voting for my federal senators and congressmen. The crux of local control, an important issue accepted by the founding fathers in the construction of the legislative branch of our federal government, a model replicated in 49 states, most cities and towns, and in many special governmental districts across the country. In our representative democratic form of government, government, electoral power is best served with the local control of the voters. Indeed, this is an issue local school boards have been fighting for against the California State Legislature for years. We need control of our budgets and our programs. In the model of election of trustee by trustee area, we will ensure a more public campaign with candidates providing answers to tough questions through greater visibility in a smaller geographic area. The constituents will be able to hold their individual trustees accountable for meeting their promises. A trustee would have easier access to those they represent and be accountable to those voters in their area. They would not, nor could not, become politically invisible in the vastness of CUSD. I therefore urge the members of the committee to stand for the principles of our representative democracy and to support the change in the manner CUSD voters currently elect trustees, and to recommend this change take place as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next three are Kathy Gadlewski, Sally Gisi, and Sherry Salvado. And I'll call three others to get ready. Red Gantos, Trudy Podobas, and Kathy Fisher. Excuse the pronunciations of the names if I'm totally murdering them. I apologize.
Not at all. My name is Kathy Godleski. I have two children in Capistrano Unified School District, still in elementary school. I'm fairly new to the community, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I might bring a slightly different perspective. I've read all of the proposals, the letters of support, all of the issues around this. I still am kind of a young-ish parent and have my children in the first stages of school, and I spend a lot of time at my elementary school. I love my elementary school. The teachers are fantastic. I think what they do is very difficult. I can't imagine holding their jobs every day and just kind of getting through that. I have a good relationship with my principal, and it's a joy to be on that campus. And so I got involved. I work through our PTA. I do what I can to volunteer in those efforts. And then I got interested in finding out more about Capistrano Unified School District. I've only been in this community for about 8 years. I live in San Clemente. I'm very happy to be a member of that community. When I first moved to Orange County, I actually lived in Rancho Santa Margarita for a short time. And the differences in the community are what they are, but I can't say now, living in San Clemente, that to vote for a trustee or a slate of trustees that may be based in Rancho Santa Margarita, Mission Viejo, Dana Point, other communities farther away from San Clemente, that they can represent the interests and what is really going on in my family of schools. And so when this issue came up through the waiver and looking at in-district voting, I thought it was a really good idea. I thought it was something we should really seriously consider, especially in light of the grave shortage of resources that we have right now to make change in this district. I've attended several school board meetings. The feeling I get is that the trustees who are there to represent us don't have an allegiance to the area that they're representing, and it's concerning. The trustee that used to represent, prior to the last election, used to represent San Clemente, seemed very informed, very involved, very knowledgeable, and I trusted his perspective. Now, I haven't spent that time with the current trustee, but I think the point is that how can we have an election that allows us to vote for all 7 really, we want to know what's going on in the community where our school is. So I think that this change to in-district voting is something we should very seriously consider, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sally Gisi, and I'm reading this tonight for my father, who's Truman Benedict. As a retired educator and superintendent of the Capistrano Unified School District, I attended and watched many board meetings. However, in the last year, there have rarely been a mention of our children or commitment to teachers. I listened to the speech the other day given by a member of the board who talked about money. Her landlady intimated that she was talking more about money available for political purposes and not for education. Your job as a board member is to use the money you receive from the state to provide the best possible education for our children. Board members should not be lecturing from the dais about their personal triumphs, nor fear-mongering. Prop 13's passage created a situation where money allocated for schools now comes from the state, and except for a few of the quality taxpayer programs. I somehow wonder, does this board have a hidden agenda, and really what they stand for? I realize board members can make a difference in the fight against wasteful spending. However, the more measurable and significant duty of the board is to make sure children are given all the tools they need for a proper public education. The number one priority of a school board is to offer each student and their families the availability of high-quality education without political undertones. This is why I support the change in voting to a bi-trustee method. Voters will be able to vote for a trustee who lives in their own area, a member who will champion and support their children and our families. The present board seems to me it has no accountability to children and to their families, and it's all about the money. I also want to take this opportunity to ask board members when they're going to hire an outstanding superintendent of schools with Capistrano Unified School District. And I won't, when he said, I have my doubts that any decent person will apply. The number one priority of a school board is to offer each student the highest quality of public education and to hire outstanding teachers. Without them, our children will indeed fail. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Sherry Saladow, but tonight I'm speaking on behalf of Andrea Coyman. She could not be here. Dear County Committee members, I apologize for not being in attendance tonight, and I have requested that Sherry Saladow read the letter in my absence. My name is Andrea Coyman, and exactly 1 year ago tonight, I was campaigning for a seat on the Capistrano Unified School Board Trustee Area 2. I made the decision to enter my name in the race when I realized that the person seeking office in my area was running unopposed. I was disappointed and felt that our democratic process had failed because we weren't offered a full slate of candidates to choose from. I also wondered why more candidates had not decided to run. Throughout the course of my campaign, I realized exactly why more people had not decided to enter the political arena and run for school board. As a candidate, I wanted to meet as many of the voters as possible. I attended local coffees, was a guest in many homes district-wide, visited retirement communities, walked door-to-door, and made it my personal mission to visit every school campus within CUSD boundaries. Campaigning is hard work, but getting to know a constituency when the borders are so far spread apart is nearly impossible. While touring the 50-plus campuses in the school district, I wondered how, as a trustee, I would be able to keep abreast of the changes and the needs of the various campuses. Would a report or some spreadsheet be enough to accurately vote on issues that drastically affect the students of the school district? It simply didn't make sense to me, and that I was campaigning at large. It seemed more fitting that a representative in an area gets to know the area which they represent. This is the area my children attend school. These are the streets that I drive. These are the campuses closest to my home. My neighbors are the constituents, and I have more firsthand knowledge of this area. Also, the cost of an election can be devastating. It is difficult to raise the type of funds needed to provide a clear message to the voters in our large school district. As a small grassroots candidate, I would have preferred to spend my time getting to know the people that in the area that I represent. Would the voters have a full slate of candidates to choose from if more people felt it feasible to run? I think so. Please allow voters the choice to change the way our trustees are elected in the Capistrano Unified School District. Sincerely, Andrea Coyman.
Thank you very much. After the three that I had previously called, let me have Marv Sherrill, Gail Benda, and Judy Heidel get ready. And we'll first start with Rad Gantos.
Good evening. My name is Rod Gantos, and I live in San Clemente.
The Boston Tea Party was at its heart a reflection of the fact that citizens have the right to be taxed only by their own elected representatives. And we've heard a lot about tea parties lately. And they eventually ended destroying the tea rather than concede to the questionable authority of the legislator in which they were not directly represented. When we at CUSD are denied the core right to be locally represented, we are reliving this historical injustice. On the current board, most if not all the winners of the 2008 elections hold those seats even though they may have lost in the local and specific areas that they reside. In fact, they have only won because they were backed by special interest groups. Additionally, demographics have changed, and the trend is of a growing minority residents. And yet, where is that representation on the current board? In some areas back in 2008, minority representation was over 30%. 30% legally registered voters. Legal aliens, not illegals. Again, where is this minority representation on the current board? Representation that is made almost impossible under the current district rather than local representation. It is time to live up to the spirit of that moment of historical importance in Boston Harbor back in 1775. A moment that was key in the American Revolution a year later. It is time to embrace today's equivalent and insist that all representation is local at CUSD. Don't just teach history at CUSD, but also at this time, honor it. Thank you.
Thank you. Trudy?
Good evening. My name is Trudy Podobas, and I address the honorable members of this county committee. Thank you for your time in service of public education in Orange County and here in CUSD. The issue at hand this evening is a very simple one. The law provides that citizens may come forth to request an alternative method for electing governing board members of our local school district. The petition to do so was approved by our county Department of Education, and the education code was followed explicitly in the language of the petition. As you all know, Ed Code restricts a petition to simply a request for change in methodology that is then remanded to the electorate for a vote. The modification of any trustee area boundaries, as established by law, is the sole responsibility of a local school board with the approval by you, the county organization committee. Our citizen petition was not incomplete. The decision on the timing of an election is also one that only you, the committee, by law can make, not any petitioner. We are here tonight as a result of a citizen-driven petition that is what you are hearing. You're also hearing a resolution brought forward by our local school board supporting that change to a by-trustee voting methodology. That official resolution also requested a date for an election should you choose to accept the petition and resolution. That resolution actually overstepped the authority of that local school board by law in that you, the county committee, have the authority to select that date. I would argue that the petition statement, as submitted by our board, was done so outside of a public meeting. In that letter, it also stated that the existing boundaries cannot be legally utilized in a by-trustee methodology. I see no proof that the trustee areas were established incorrectly and did not use population factors. If the current trustee areas are not constitutionally in compliance, then shouldn't the district immediately change that and reapprove it? The issue raised here is the issue of cost of the election, and I couldn't agree more. By making this change before the next November election, we save $100,000 in our budget. Candidates save $50,000, $80,000, $90,000 in election costs. That's insanity for school board trustee election. The states have mandated it, and our own constituents, the ones who are invested in education, have mandated it. This alone would save that cost. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kathy Fisher?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think Kathy Fisher's next.
I thought I was later in the list. Yes, my name is Kathy Fisher. I am a parent of a student here in Capistrano Unified School District, and, of course, I am a registered voter. And tonight I'm going to start off with my presentation in a slightly different format. I've written a poem.
because it's more fun that way. And it still gets my point across. Okay. Reflect on the way we elect. Our trustees, how should we elect? Voting at large or by areas direct? Many will speak tonight on this subject. Then it's your charge to approve or reject. Today, 12 cities and areas must be tracked and thousands of dollars spent to have an effect on voters so they will be able to select a candidate's name and mark it checked. Over 1,200 signatures did the petition collect, stating the current system is less than perfect in finding trustees who need to connect to children and voters they serve and protect. Our population has grown. That's easy to detect. 30 schools in 15 years did this district erect. Therefore, I say to you in all due respect, the time has come to change the way we elect. And just very quickly, because I saw I had a few more seconds, I do question Mr. Kinsler's presentation where the school board did not vote to ask you to reject the petition and keep things the way they are. So I just wanted to throw that in too.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. After the three that are up there already waiting for Chris Corpy, Sam Al-Howie, and Robert Rydell, come forward and be ready. Go ahead. This is Marv Schell, I believe.
That's correct. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Marv Schell. I started teaching at San Clemente High School in 1971. I was one of seven high school science teachers in the entire Capistrano Unified School District. Dana Hills, or San Clemente High School, has well over three times that many now. On day one, I was greeted by Superintendent Truman Benedict and all the trustees. I saw them constantly at every football game, back to school night, open house, school play, etc. When I opened Dana Hills High School a couple years later, I still maintained a relationship with trustees such as Ed Westberg and George White, who sometimes asked me personally, "What can we do for you?" When we needed money, we passed school bonds. At that time, it was possible for these people to have a personal relationship with all the schools and be on a first-name basis with administrators and teachers alike. But we continued to grow. When I retired in 2005, the last original Dana Hills teacher, the district population had increased over 100-fold, and the sheer number of schools made us one of the largest in Orange County. The small-town atmosphere disappeared, as did the accountability that trustees had for their individual areas. No one could possibly get to know 56 schools. The paradigm has changed long ago, and it's time for us to change now. The at-large process is antiquated and no longer serves its purpose. To me, it's ludicrous, if not criminal, that a trustee may be elected to represent one area and yet not receive a single vote from that area. Changing the current at-large system on the June 8, 2010 election to trustee area-only elections and then aligning these areas as soon as possible conform to the current demographics will be better serve the parents, students, teachers, and the board members alike. Just as we hold teachers and administrators responsible for their charges, let us hold each trustee equally responsible for their specific electoral region and the schools within. Rather than have them continue to float ethereally as a nebulous group through the vast cyberspace of Capistrano Unified School District, theoretically accountable to everyone, but in reality responsible to no one. Thank you.
Thank you. Gail Benda.
Good evening, I'm Gail Benda. I encourage you to vote for the change in the way that our school district trustees are elected, giving us the ability to vote by area only and to have this issue go to voters in June 2010. To recap, the population of the Capistrano School District has grown to be much larger than it was when it was first established, and our district continues to grow. Under the current at-large way we vote, there's no real link between trustees and their constituents. Area-only elections
would facilitate better connections with trustees. Trustees would still have the responsibility to govern over the entire district. This change would not alter that at all. Our board would become a truly representative local governing body, and there could be greater accountability of trustees. As mentioned, a candidate for our board currently needs over $100,000 to run a serious campaign. That huge amount for a campaign seems to be incomprehensible for most. Who among typical citizens can fathom the idea of raising that kind of money? With this change, the cost of running would be significantly reduced, and that would translate into the best people running, no matter what their socioeconomic status or contacts are. In addition, district costs for trustee elections would be significantly lower. A very important thing of note, this change to area-only voting for our board has been endorsed by the district's teachers organization, the district's management association, our district's chapter of CSEA, and our PTA/PTSA council. Plus, there are nearly 1,200 signatures on the petition before you this evening. So it already has the support of over 35,000 people, significantly more than the approximately 10,500 people who voted for four of our trustees in June 2008. Redrawing area boundaries within our district is an entirely separate and political issue not required with this change, so it must not cloud tonight's issue of voting method change. The change to area-only voting should go to voters in June 2010 so that it could be in effect the next time we go to the polls to elect trustees, stalling this process so that it couldn't go into effect until November 2012 would make things inequitable. All current trustees should be subject to the new way we vote. Thank you. I urge you to vote for this change for June 2010.
Thank you. Judy Heidel.
Good evening. My name is Judy Heidel, and I am a parent. The petition in favor of bi-trustee area voting was supported by parents, teachers, and unions alike. The request for a waiver so that this process could take place without a cost to the district was summarily dismissed by the board. Hence, we, the constituents of CUSD, respectfully address you tonight. The primary issue before you is whether we, the voters, should have the opportunity to hold an election to determine how the trustees of CUSD are elected. That is by far the most pressing issue. However, while it is not an official component of the petition or this hearing, the thundering subtext is, if the Orange County Department of Education decides that the election is necessary or appropriate, should it take place in June 2010 or November 2010? The brief presented by the law firm throws numerous alleged obstacles in the path of moving forward quickly with the change advocated by the voters. If I could, I would closely review this document with an attorney. In lieu of that, I ask you, the Orange County Committee, to thoroughly investigate the statements in this document before arriving at a decision. In the end, this petition is about the constituents of CUSD asking to be heard, and asking to be heard sooner rather than later. We, the parents and the teachers, want to bring about change now. We want to have the opportunity to elect board members who may not be able to afford the astronomical cost of running an at-large campaign. Educators, for example. We want the opportunity to elect board members who demonstrate an in-depth knowledge of education policy and education code. We want the opportunity to elect board members who choose to run for this very important position out of purely altruistic motives. Please give us this opportunity. Please support the June election. Thank you.
Okay, with the next three come forward is Dr. Jack Roper, Lon Vasso, and Craig Alexander, and we'll go first to Chris Corpy. Chris Corpy would be next.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Chris Corpy, and I'm a voter living in Dana Point.
parent.
I'm within the Capistrano School District. I'll try to squeeze this in as fast as I can. Our district's in deep trouble. Our Board of Trustees is completely dysfunctional and ineffective, and we need your help. All seven of our current trustees were elected promising reform, transparency, smaller class sizes, better management of our financial resources, and they all supported changing the way we elect trustees by trustee area. Not one of these promises has been fulfilled, and instead we have rampant instances of conflicts of interest, costs are out of control with attorney fees and consultants, secret and hidden agendas reveal that there is no transparency, class sizes are skyrocketing, educational talent is running from our district, and schools out of fear and out of disgust. And like every other broken promise, supporting a better method to elect trustees is now no longer supported by this dysfunctional board. Sadly, I'm partly responsible for this mess. I voted for the recall, and I voted for most of these trustees. I trusted them, and little did I know that these people were handpicked and funded by a couple of wealthy families in Orange County, many of whom do not live in our district, don't have children in public schools, and whose agenda has nothing to do with improving public education. At the Capitol trustee meeting last on the 15th, we witnessed many lies and distortions as the trustees attempted to find ways to oppose moving forward with this new election method. The elephant in the room was never mentioned. The elephant is that they are now threatened by local control. They want to buy more elections and manipulate the voters in the district into electing the same types of dysfunctional trustees that currently fill those positions. Their hand-picked attorney seems to have no issue distorting available data to support their position. $30,000 we spent on this individual in the last 2 months in climbing, a $30,000 PowerPoint presentation full of lies. Other than that attorney, five of these trustees and a few individuals, everyone else that is waiting on this issue overwhelmingly supports this change. All but one speaker at the last Capitol trustee meeting spoke in favor of this change. PTAs, teachers union, parents, and voters groups all have stated that they are in favor of this change. Mr. Winston, when he was presented with a call from the audience, this is, what about our constituents, was caught on tape saying, what about them? That's the type of arrogance and total disregard for our voters that we're trying to change. Thank you for your help.
Good evening, committee. My name is Robert Rydell, and I currently have two children in Capitol Unified Schools. I guess I'm a bit amazed that I'm the only one here, because I'm actually going to request that you reject the petition, and at best, don't put it on the ballot until at least 2010, where the voters choose on this. I would guess that, I don't know if it's just because I'm just a parent in the district, but not a single parent I've talked to on this has even heard about this issue within the district. So I don't know if, what the deal is, why there's that disparity, but frankly, nobody I've talked to even knows about this. But the bottom line is this. Two of the people on this committee were even on this school board as recently as 5 years ago. Never once did I ever hear them even pitching, changing how we elected trustees in this district. Bottom line is, right now we have a chance to elect all seven members, yes or no, and we pick. Maybe we want a diverse spread of a doctor, a lawyer, an educator, an entrepreneur, a businessman, whatever, and we can select to get that diverse board to provide oversight. You change it to a board, we can elect one person. Whether or not that person represents us within our area, that remains to be seen. When there's talk about representation, well, in every city, there's a city council. You don't just elect one member of the city council. You elect the body, because that body as a whole is what makes the decisions that impact, in this case, the city, whether it be the city for the city council or for whether it be the school board and every student in the district when we elect a trustee. To change it to where you're only electing one, you could be completely marginalized and your voice completely shut out. This is one of those cases where more of less is not better. Just because you get better local representation doesn't mean you're going to be better represented. There will be coalitions. We've seen 4-3 splits on this board before. We will see that again at the local level. There will be winners. There will be losers. And what do you do when a coalition of four areas decide we're going to marginalize those three areas? Those three areas could be near half the district. They won't even have a voice. lot of things said. It only makes sense, better representation, less costly. Frankly, the cost that a person has to pay to fund their election, that's their problem to run for the board. It shouldn't be imposed on we, the voters, to take away our right. Democracy is not cheap. We pay for it in blood, and we have a right to make that choice when we vote.
Could you restate your name one more time?
Robert Reidel.
Okay, thank you very much. And did Sam? Okay, thank you, Sam.
Hello, Orange County Board of Orange County Committee. I'm Sam Al-Khani, student advisor to the Board of Trustees, and I appreciate the opportunity to voice my opinion of over 50,000 students on my behalf. Today, we have a requisite issue at hand. The decisions made tonight will affect our district for many years to come. This issue is larger than how we elect the board. This is an issue of democracy. The school board is the most direct way a citizen is represented. But unfortunately, this system is flawed and not quite democratic. If the constituents are to be accurately represented, we must move to a bi-trustee area voting system. What is the point of even having trustee districts if we are not utilizing them? Is it democratic for a resident in Idaho or Kentucky to vote for our senator here in California? I would think not. So why would someone who lives in another trustee district have a voice in who my representative would be? And there's another underlying issue. In a true healthy democracy, anyone would be able to run for the Board of Trustees. Our current system sifts through the legitimate candidates who do not have the funds to run an effective district-wide campaign, leaving only the wealthy in control. Our current system does not give those true community leaders a chance to run, those leaders whose best interests are in the people. This topic will continue to be an issue until it is resolved, so it's better to deal with it now than later. And we don't need to put this on the ballot in 2010. You've seen all the constituents here behind me, and you know overwhelmingly what the decision would be. In our current system, over 200,000 people are getting deprived of democracy. So I ask of you to change our methodology to a more democratic means. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Wolper will be our next speaker, but would Tony Beal, Gary Thompson, and Jennifer Beal come forward? Dr. Wolper?
Don't start that clock yet. I have more than that. Good evening, Secretary Benkert and your sidekick, Dave. We appreciate you guys. And ladies and gentlemen of this August committee, it's been a long 43 years, here's a little history now, since I have worked with this committee as its secretary. I was a deputy county superintendent then and conducted the unification elections in Orange County that were going on then per the 1960 Unruh law, a law that was intended to reduce the number of school districts and flood them with more money. Some called it a finance bill, others a unification bill. Both were right. All school elections were called and conducted by the county superintendent's office. The county superintendent, county committee, and the four districts all worked together to develop a plan which included trustee areas for this district. Why trustee areas and the options? I have been told that they were conceived by a legislature recognizing that our federal, state, county, and city voters and candidates all resided in districts. The state requirements included trustee areas to be part of the plan, and that is what I will share with you. TAs were to be part of the plan in order to provide for long-range planning. Most all new unified districts were small upon creation, so TAs were set up to provide for population and voter growth, whereby they could move from voting at large to within or by the areas. The district is a huge monolith, almost 200 square miles, realize tremendous growth beyond our predictions and imagination in those years, a cogent reason for voting within. The major problem we experienced with Unified School District was the trustee areas. For when I was holding public hearings, service talks, and conducting training sessions for precinct workers on the plan, the parents and voters consistently wanted to vote with the TAs, within the TAs. The rationale was they were losing their district, so they wanted the TA to reflect their lost district. It made sense. I would take these concerns to the county committee and they would reject them on the grounds that the new unified district was too small. And in those years to come, they could then change them if there was good enough to justify the change. In 1964, there were 4,500 students. Now there are 52,000. So let's keep our promise. Interesting enough, just 3 years later, I had the duty to form the new college district, and the main concern, could have just a little bit more, you're going to miss a lot of history.
Just one sentence.
Okay.
not a long sentence.
This is a long one. But it's historic.
We better
you haven't heard much history tonight, so you need to hear this.
We may ask you a question about history later, okay?
Okay, just 3 years later, though, I formed the new college district that we have here, and the main concern then was the voters was the same, trustee areas and voting from within. Anyway, I attended the board meeting of the trustees 2 weeks ago, and they voted 5-2 on the waiver, 2 in favor of the waiver and 5 for an election. There seemed to be a great deal of confusion, lack of understanding.
We need to have you wind it down.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ron?
Hi, my name is Lon Uso, and I live in San Juan Capistrano. Honorable committee members, I'm not going to repeat all the things that these other folks have said, but I will tell you that I agree with virtually everything that the residents have been saying as they've come up here. I will tell you that I'm not here because I'm unhappy with our Board of Trustees. I, in fact, know many of them personally, and some of them are my close friends. Even so, I'm terribly disappointed. I was one of the board members of the original recall committee. I raised hundreds, I know, tens of thousands of signatures with Sue Palazzo, with Mike Winston. We had this discussion more than once. I interviewed virtually all of the folks that are on the board today. Without exception, they told me that they were in favor of being elected in their area of representation. I guess I'm a little disappointed that today I heard members of the staff come forth and basically undercut this issue. I think that's something that I did not expect to come from this board. It makes me wonder where their true heart lies. I also believe that you probably received a copy of this from the President's USD Recall Committee asking you not to do this. Well, I will tell you that that also amazes me because as an original member of that committee, we at that time were all in favor of having folks elected in their area of representation. It is vital to know that we don't become what we once fought. It is imperative that you allow these folks in the next election to be elected in their area of representation. $400,000, where was the concern for that when we ran a recall election months before a regular election? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Craig Alexander. I'm a resident of Dana Point. I'm an attorney and a taxpayer and a voter. I also helped work on the last two elections, the recall and the regular election. I've heard a lot tonight about special interests, and I noted that in Ms. Kutnick's letter to you, and I also reviewed the Atkinson letter, Ms. Kutnick referred to support of, among other things, the three unions. I would submit to you that those unions supported three candidates last time, and those candidates and their supporters in the union made their case to the people, and the people said, no thanks, we're going to go with the recall trustees. What they want tonight is for you to give them a change in the rules to have immediate political gratification, to try and have a second bite at the apple. And unfortunately, if it's a June 2010 primary vote, it's a $490,000 bite at the apple at a time when the district can least afford it, with the unfortunate situation of the state taking money from cities, counties, and school districts to balance its own budget. So for that reason alone, I would suggest strongly that there is a balance in what is going on with this whole political back and forth, but it shouldn't be done to rebalance things at the cost of such a heavy cost to the district. Secondly, I thought Mr. Atkinson's letter was well written, and I would not repeat all the points in it except to say he brought up some very valid points on the issue of timeliness of when you're going to do this, if you do it, and also the legalities. As a lawyer, I know that litigation is very expensive. And they brought up the point that there's litigation against other districts regarding goodbye trustee. There's no litigation on that on Capital Unified right now. But as Mr. Atkinson pointed out, making that change in such a quick fashion could actually cause that litigation to occur. Finally, I do like the idea, and I do like the fact that I can, as a voter, have all seven trustees accountable to the voters, not just one area. Having said that, if you do decide that that change is necessary, I agree with the idea of putting it on the ballot in November of 2010. I think that's a more orderly way of doing it, obviously for less money, and then gives much more time for the voters to have their say and the parties back. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Alexander. Okay, the last three to come forward are Gila Jones, Sharon Campbell, and Teresa Tabell. The next speaker is Tony Beal.
Good evening. My name is Tony Beal. I'm an elected member of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm a leader in the CUSD reform movement. I'm the father of four children who attend or recently graduated from CUSD schools. In America, the right to vote for your elected representatives is sacred, and it must be protected. Voters in CUSD currently have the right to vote for all seven trustees, as is the case in the vast majority of school districts across California. Tonight, Ms. Kutnick is asking that you take away six of those seven votes. I urge you to protect the rights of voters by rejecting this misguided proposal. The voters of South Orange County have spoken clearly and unmistakably for the third election in a row. Voters in CUSD have repeatedly rejected the corrupt status quo in this school district, and they elected seven reform trustees by landslide margins of victory. Voters have given our new board a mandate for positive change and reform, and they're doing a terrific job. However, as you can hear, there's a new battle being waged in this school district, and it's every bit as dangerous as the battle voters recently won when they removed the last of the Fleming-era trustees from office. The old guard and their supporters and the union leadership fought to the bitter end to retain their stranglehold on this district. Even after years of scandals, admissions of illegal and unethical acts, grand jury investigations, and indictments, the leadership of the employee union spent huge amounts of money, $100,000, to elect Aaron Kutnick and to preserve the last vestiges of their power here. Let me be clear, this is the battle we're now witnessing, and tonight you've been dragged into it. The teachers' union is by far the largest special interest in this district. They gave Erin Kutnick and her slate mates $100,000, and they lost. And now they want to change the way voters get to vote so that voters may only vote for one trustee, thereby gaming the system. I urge you to reject this undemocratic proposal. Keep the system the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Thompson.
Good evening, members of the committee. My name is Gary Thompson. I am the mayor of the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, and I'm not here tonight to give my opinion on the subject at hand as far as whether or not the petition should go forward or not. That's a decision that you will have to make at the end of the night. But I'm here to talk a little bit about the process that you need to consider if you do decide to go ahead and adopt the petition and move forward. A very large portion of my city lies within the CUSD boundaries, and my constituents will be affected by the decisions that you make concerning their future ability to vote, whether it's for one trustee or all seven. But from the standpoint of process, there's two items to consider. Number one, and I'll just touch on it briefly, is the fact that they've already been plenty of mention concerning the cost of a special election versus the election in November. You know, $500,000 versus $8,500 in today's economic climate, you know, if you really think the school district can afford to remove that money out of the classrooms, then by all means do it in June. But if, as good educators that I believe you all are, I think you'll understand the importance of doing this reasonably from an economic and prudent manner from a financial perspective for the school district. But more importantly, I think you really do need to take to heart the whole issue of how you redraw the district boundaries, because you will be obligated by law, or the district will be, to redraw those boundaries. You cannot physically do it if you hold a June election and then try and redraw boundaries and make them legally defensible and try and get them on a November ballot. The timeline that was laid out by the school district's attorneys is absolutely correct. There is no time. My day job, I'm the Administrative Services Director for the City of Menifee out in Riverside County. We just went through a district boundary process this year. To do that right, to make it legally defensible, to ensure that you've done the demographics properly, not only from the standpoint of the population distribution, but also making sure you don't disenfranchise ethnic groups. It's a six-month process to do it right, to get it legally defensible. And that's the consideration you have to make, that if, in fact, you're going to move forward, you need to place this on the November ballot so that this district does have the time to do the process right. Because if they get sued because you did it wrong, you're going to be responsible as much as they are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jennifer Beal.
Good evening tonight. My name is Jennifer Beal. I am a mother of four children, all that attended CUSD schools. Welcome to this fabulous, wonderful administration building. I bet you have never, ever been in such a lovely facility. Every time I come in here, I'm amazed. It is the heart of the unrest in the school district that you've witnessed here tonight. This was the catalyst that drove the first recall and all the reform and change. And what you see tonight still wages on. I'm not going to really get into the pros and cons of the petition at hand. There's been an unbelievable amount of misinformation given out to you regarding the school district running school elections, and I'd like to address a few of those. First, I'd like to, before I do that, thank the attorney for CUSD. I read that letter yesterday. It was well written, well thought out, and I'm proud of the school board for starting to do things 100% legally and by the law and doing them thoughtfully. Let's do them without emotion. Let's do them correctly. And I hope you as a committee will honor those laws and obey them. I know you're dragged into this catfight, and it's unfortunate. First, $100,000. Never spent that much ever on an election, and won three in a row. The most we've ever spent, $65,000. We, our opponents, spent $102,000. Maybe a little bit more. I got all their filings today. There are 170 pages of their filings, and they have received more money than we have ever had. It would have been a dream to win an election with $100,000. That never occurred. That is a falsehood and an absolute lie.
Second, the union is the special interest here. They are supporting this. They want the change. They want the seats back. They didn't want reform. They didn't want change. Third, disrespect. They talked a lot about the board disrespecting them, but the only disrespect I see in this room is these constituents sitting here disrespecting this board and, more importantly, disrespecting the 74,000 people that voted in 2008 to put these people in office. That is nothing compared to the measly 1,200 people that signed a petition and the 75 sitting in this room with big voices. You need to consider the 74,000 people. Thank you.
Thank you. Gila Jones.
Good evening, committee members. My name is Gila Jones. I'm a 30-year resident of Capistrano Unified. I have two children who attended Ambio Elementary, Marco Forster Middle School, and graduated from Tesoro High School. With luck, any minute they might graduate from college. Recently, we had 100% turnover of our school board, but those of you who have been around for a while may know that in the 88 through 92 elections, we also had 100% turnover of the school board. In 1988, I was one of many soldiers helping to elect Trustee Marlene Draper and helping re-elect her in 92 and 96. One of her campaign issues was to change to a bi-area trustee election. When Marlene Draper and Trustee Kochendorfer were elected in 88, they were a minority on the board, and they really didn't have much power. And I remember Trustee Palazzo and I used to speak with Mrs. Draper about this, and her response was, "We're a minority, there's very little we can do." But gradually the board was turned over, and gradually this issue was forgotten. It was forgotten by that board. It was not forgotten by me. The cost for a serious run, I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of money. Are we getting the best candidates or the best fundraisers? Are we getting the best candidates or the best person that's able to marshal special interests, whether they are unions, PTAs, or someone else? Some people here do not like the current trustees. Some don't like the last trustees. It isn't relevant. It isn't relevant. We needed this in 1988. We needed this in 1992, 94, 96. We needed it in 2000, 2002, 2004, 2006, 2008, and we still need it today. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. My name is Sharon Campbell. I have a college graduate who went through CUSD schools, and I have a student still in the CUSD schools. I think there are pros and cons to every way you elect officials. People raised concerns tonight that are on both sides. I will tell you some of my biggest concerns. When I call my state and federal officials, the very first question they ask me is, "What is your address?" And there are some officials that will not even take your emails if you are not their constituent. That is one of the pros to a district area election. I'm also concerned that in the city that I live, Mission Viejo, until 3 years ago, not one trustee on this school board lived in my city. My children, I live in one trustee area. My children attend schools in other trustee areas. My tax dollars are raised in one city and yet decided by all seven trustees. It's an unrepresentation of me and my tax dollars if you go by area with the way the current areas are drawn. I do not disagree that a trustee election area would be an easier way to run a campaign, and I do think down-ticket elections should be able to be run by people that are running grassroots campaigns. However, the way our current trustee areas are aligned, my city has three trustee areas. San Juan, one of the smallest cities in our district, has four trustee areas. Virtually all of our cities have more than one trustee area, and it leaves people living and electing for an official
that will never represent the school that their children attend. And that isn't the right way to vote for people to represent you. If I was representing, voting for a trustee in my city of Mission Viejo, and they were encompassed the city where my children went to school, then that's one way to look at it. And that is fair representation. And then they go in and they do catfight for money and programs for those cities. That's what happens in the federal government. It's what happens in the state government. It is the nature of politics. So I don't, I feel bad for you. I think this is a very difficult decision because there are pros and cons to everything that you're going to look at. But I am not supportive of changing the voting pattern with the current trustee areas because I do feel like we are not going to be properly represented at that point.
Thank you very much for your input. And the last speaker is Teresa Tabell. Maybe she gave up on us. All right, I will just not hear then. Okay, I will then officially close the public hearing at this point. And we will move to a discussion session. Does any board member or committee member need to take a two-minute break or for the time, or can we move forward? I guess we'll move forward. I don't see anybody raising their hand to leave. So, okay, I'd like to give the county committee the opportunity to discuss the issues that we've been presented, the petitions, the district resolution, as well as the arguments heard both in favor and in opposition to these proposals tonight. There are two primary considerations for this committee to discuss, whether to change the method of election from trustee area to a bi-trustee area. And the second thing is the date, whether the date would be June or November of 2010. And if it would improve, that would be included in the motion. So the other two options include extending this public hearing on until another meeting if there are outlying questions that we haven't been able to get answers to, or to disapprove the petition completely. So those would be the options that we have before us at this point. So in terms of the process, I will take some direction from the board. If you have a series of questions you'd like to ask of individuals, then we'll go down the line. And then we'll go back specifically to those particular options. So would you want to start, Karen? Herman? Do you have questions that you have to ask?
I do have questions, but just getting off of all the comments, I'm trying to organize my thoughts, so I'm happy to let someone else go ahead and proceed.
Do you have some questions, Mr. Wilson? Go ahead.
The first thing I would like to address, I did some research, and the numbers that are being given for elections is incorrect. And correct me, county, if this is not correct, David Wilson, as I understand that if they have a November election, it'll cost $8,500 on top of the between $300,000 to $350,000. However, if they are doing it by trustee areas and the decision is made in June prior, the election would be about $125,000. Is that correct? And that has not been addressed at all. It's a huge, it's about a $200,000 incorrect information.
The June election would be less because you wouldn't be paying for all seven trustees at one time. You'd only be paying
exactly
three trustees to be elected. So the cost we have from the county is between $125,000 and $149,000 estimated cost.
So the legal counsel information is off by about $200,000. Is that correct?
No, I don't think they addressed that.
Well, they addressed that. I wrote this down, that if we had an election in November, it would cost $8,500 on top of the about $350,000.
That is correct.
So it's a $200,000 difference.
No, it would cost $8,500 more.
Yeah, if they added it then. But if they'd already made the decision, the election would be $200,000. $100,000 less. That's what I'm trying to say in November. Is that correct?
I'm wondering if you might be confusing the two issues. Of what the $8,500 is, how much an additional cost there would be.
Exactly.
If the change for the method of elections was to go on the November 2010 ballot. But the number, Wendy, that you're referring to.
But if it was done, if the decision was made in June,
okay,
and you only had trustee area election in November, it would be a much cheaper election.
Right. If the elections were, if in June 2010 the voters approved the change in the method of elections, then the cost for the November 2010 board elections would be the numbers that
yeah.
Done.
Okay, and that's $200,000 difference. Okay, now my next question is, when we have done demographic changes, in which we just did recently in the city for the school district of Orange within the last year, the demographic demographer was from Cal State Fullerton, and we did not use only census as we were presented, but they actually have demographics that they can do beyond that, making it very current, so it can be done in a timely fashion, either now or after. Is that correct through Fullerton?
Well, I think there are a couple issues. One is, regardless if you change the trustee, if you change the trustee areas prior to the release of the decennial census, mm-hmm. then you'd have to change them again afterwards, because it's mandated by law that the trustee areas be rearranged every time the census results come out. That's assuming that the elections are by trustee area.
Okay.
So that's one issue. Secondly, with regard to what information is used in rearranging the trustee areas, I don't know if the other staff can speak to that, but and I don't really know what the what they used in Orange. I'm not really sure what data was used in that.
I know it was done recently, so that's why that was a confusing situation. I know that it was a CSU Fullerton demographer.
Yeah, we would have to go back and check. I believe that they did take the 2000 census and updated the numbers.
Exactly. Okay. And, okay, that answers the question that I have right now.
Can I follow up on that? Okay, if going along the line of what you're referencing with Orange as the example, and say using some model that provided that opportunity to go forward, say that was a decision made that allowed for trustee areas to be created prior to the upcoming census of 2010, and then you say at that time a new one is required, is there, first of all, a threshold difference? In other words, is there something that triggers, or does, if it's within X percentage, it's not required?
There's not any sort of threshold that has to be met, but under the education code, every time the census results come out, the areas have to be investigated and perhaps redrawn, depending on how the numbers look.
Okay, and then following on, for the potential to occur, it's conceivable then a person selected under the criteria of the whatever trustee areas were created prior to the upcoming census of 2010, those realignments might actually force a new election potentially?
Well,
realigned out of...
No, you hold the position until you hold the seat until the next election. You don't lose your seat because of a change in trustee areas.
Okay. I want to clarify. Thank you.
Ms. McCormick, do you have any specific questions?
Not at this time, but we're instructed.
Okay, Ms. Hennis?
Thank you. Since we talked about, or since Ms. Wilson talked about the discrepancy in the numbers in what an election would cost, the $200,000 discrepancy, because they'd only be voting for three trustee areas in November of 2010. Am I right in assuming that there would be savings over the long haul? Might be even more than what the chief petitioner said, because they're voting three one time, four the next, three and four.
I haven't investigated the petitioner's numbers, but there would be savings because you wouldn't be voting for all seven trustees. You wouldn't be voting at large. You'd be voting for specific trustee areas.
And I don't know if you can answer this or you might be able to. I believe there is money in the school district budget that is a line item for elections. So it's not taken out of the school classroom. Do you know about that?
I think that the school district would have to answer that question.
Is there a financial person in the district that is here?
Mr. Kinsley, do you have the financial information?
Perhaps the superintendent would know.
Is that microphone working, Ms. Mayer? If you need to, that's good. Thank you.
The line item would go in for the year 2010, but it would not have anticipated any extra charges.
But it would be, there would be a larger number put in for the November 2010.
Right. Well, yeah, whatever it would have normally been.
Okay. Thank you.
But line item, remember, comes out of the general fund.
Right. But it, I mean, that's
a line item.
Election comes in every 2 years.
Out of the general fund.
Right. But it's there every 2 years. I had a question, some clarification from Mr. Kinsler. He said there were significant issues related to bi-trustee elections, and he talked about children attending school in one area and the parents living in another trustee area. What are those significant issues besides that?
As you heard from a number of other speakers, for example, you've got issues in this district with respect to how community facility districts are operating. There have been any number of speakers in front of this board complaining that they are not getting the services that they require. They happen to reside in one jurisdiction. There are others who reside in different jurisdictions. There are issues with respect to attendance boundaries. The operations and educational program of the district are intertwined in ways that if there is a change to bi-trustee areas, takes away the ability, perhaps, of citizens and voters to have a say with respect to the entirety of their children's education and those in the district.
Okay. You mentioned CFDs, community facility districts. I don't believe this situation this evening has anything to do with CFDs. The election.
That's simply as an example and answer to your question.
Okay. Well, I would like to have answers that are pertinent to this situation.
Please hold your emotional responses. I appreciate that.
I'm wondering if the trustee areas would have to be redrawn. If this committee changed the election, set the election for June 2010, would trustee areas have to be redrawn before that, or could they be, could it wait until after the census information is in like April of 2011, I think is when they come in?
Well, the concern would be that if the voters did approve the change in the method of election in June of 2010, then what is supposed to happen under the law is that that change is supposed to be effective for the November 2010 election. The problem at that point would be that you did have trustee areas that were drawn based on population rather than on registered voters, and there is a concern that there would be an equal protection violation because of that. And so there, I do agree that if the change is made, that by the time that change is effective, the trustee areas do need to be withdrawn. Otherwise, I do think the district would be subject to challenge under the Equal Protection Clause.
Okay, so but there's nothing stopping this board from starting tomorrow hiring the demographers to redraw the, and so there would be plenty of time for them to redraw boundaries.
Only that you have to follow the process, which I have. The process has to be initiated either by a citizen's position, a board resolution, or on the county committee's own initiative to begin to initiate the process of redrawing the boundaries. And I just would say that we don't know how long that process would take, for the reason that that process can be challenged by a citizen's petition that can force an election on the issue. So I don't know that anyone can sit here today and tell you how long that process will necessarily take.
But there's nothing to stop them.
There's nothing to stop you from moving forward with that issue, you know, immediately to initiate the process.
Okay. I think that's all my questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Start at the other end.
Commissioner has discussed some questions that would probably be something I want to ask her. But I do have to say that over the years I have always admired and been very appreciative of the scores and the way that San Juan Capistrano has conducted himself. I know that they've been through a lot, and none of that is unfamiliar to me in our district. And as a former educator, I can appreciate what you're going through. My concern, of course, is the money that's involved, and acquiesce and let other people discuss this too. This is, I know the feelings that are all put forth, and I know the concerns are very real. But at a time like this, when money is a big factor for school districts, it's something that's in the front of my mind. So I'll just let it go with the rest of you.
My question is more in the line of clarification for those of us who might not understand it, and that is about the issue of one person, one vote, and yet registered voters seem to only be a segment of that. I don't understand that. Only registered voters vote. So,
Ms. Myers, can you respond to that?
Yes, I just basically there's a number of cases, a number of court decisions that have looked at this issue in terms of how trustee areas or representatives areas need to be drawn, and under the Equal Protection Clause, the courts have consistently held that those areas need to be drawn based on population, because even though people might not be voting, they still need to be represented, and so the case law is very clear that you do have to base these areas on population, not on the number of registered voters. I think that's very consistent. I'm not aware of any cases that hold otherwise.
Okay, that's all. I was just confused by the one vote. One person, one vote, when in reality it is not one person, one vote. It's everybody and those who vote.
Mr. Benneke?
I sent an email late yesterday, or was it the day before, requesting clarification of the letter we all received from from Warren, asking the OCDE staff to respond to the details in that letter. And when I heard back from the staff member this morning, I asked that it be shared with the committee members, and because some committee members would not not have had an opportunity to get to their email midpoint in the day. I just copied it, and it was decided not to send it out. And so I would like to share with the committee the response to my question. My question was, I would like to know the OCDE legal staff's input to the committee as to the content of a letter mailed to the committee by the CUSD lawyer. And here is the response. Warren's letter is primarily an advocacy document in which he argues on behalf of the board that the proposal, if approved, should be placed on the November 2010, not the June 2010 ballot. Our office does not take a position on whether the proposal should be approved or what election date is most appropriate. And this is the lawyer, Karen, speaking. Those are matters for the county committee to determine. Warren also contends that the district's trustee areas as currently drawn do not conform to constitutional requirements, so that any change to a by-trustee method will necessitate a redrawing of trustee areas. Our office has not determined that the trustee areas as currently drawn are unconstitutional, given that the trustees currently are elected by all the registered voters in the district. We do agree, however, that if the district changes to the by-trustee area method, the trustee areas will have to be redrawn based upon population rather than on the number of registered voters. Warren contends that the petition must be denied because it is incomplete, i.e., it is silent as to the modification of existing trustee areas. I do not believe the petition is incomplete. It contains the legally required elements. Warren further contends that new trustee areas cannot be drawn in time for the November 2010 election. I am not sure this is true. If the county committee were to initiate the process to redraw trustee areas at this time, it seems that it is possible that the trustee areas could be redrawn in time for the November 2010 election. According to Warren, the deadline is July 5, 2010. This is probably a question your office could best answer based on the amount of time such redrawing has taken in the past. Please note, I do agree with Warren that if the trustee areas are redrawn prior to the release of the 2010 census results, they will need to be redrawn again once the results are released. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody had this piece of information that I neglected to request until yesterday, having not received the letter until quite late. I guess my concern here is that we all have an understanding of the possibility of whether or not trustee areas could be redrawn in time for a June election. And having served where on a board where trustee areas were redrawn because of the need to adjust trustee areas because population growth had grown unevenly since the previous census, I do have to say that it was done with staff help and quite efficiently and was easily managed, and you know, the numbers speak for themselves and that kind of thing.
And I'll just make a comment that I think you will get a sense from the letter that Ms. Benekevi has just read that the county has done nothing to push us in any direction. They have stayed totally neutral, giving us the information that is available, that's objective. And I want you to be aware that they have been incredibly careful to do that. So I'm real proud of the staff and of the material that we've been given and of the restraint, both in terms of that information and in terms of the Brown Act as well. So, Mrs. Furman.
Mostly my questions have been answered by other before I was called upon, but I just did want to clarify with the council. A petition does not need to have the date of a proposed election in it to be valid.
That's correct. I don't believe it needs to have the date in it.
Okay, thank you. I think the other ones were answered. Most of my concern is about the election areas and you're agreeing with the district's lawyer that they would need to be redrawn before the November election if we as a group decides that this should go through.
Well, again, it would be up to the election results. So if it went to the June election and the voters approved the change, then yes, I agree that the trustee areas would need to be redrawn by the next trustee election.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. McCormick?
A couple of comments I'd like to make here.
Can you move up to the microphone, Mr. McCormick, please? I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, my voice doesn't carry. We're here tonight because a group of people obviously were not happy with the last election. And so I have a feeling that if all of you had, a majority of you had supported the incumbents or the ones who are in office now in this district, you probably wouldn't be here. And so you've sort of given us sort of a, here's the potato, it's sort of hot, but go ahead, committee, handle it now. So we've got to remember, whatever way determination is, whether you have on a seven-member board, regardless under the present system or by trustee area only, if you have four people on one side, I mean, that's majority, and that's politics, so you have to remember that. So just because if we determine this is the way to do it, our recommendation, then you vote on it as a constituent in the area, you may not win there, too. So you're here because for some reason you're not happy with the present board, or most of you would not be here. The other thing is this. We seem to have forgotten, I think, that your job as a trustee is to represent the district. So I don't care how you voted in office. If you voted just to represent, you know, a small trustee area, that's all you have to worry about. Your responsibility is to the district. You're talking to an old man who spent 29 years as a school board member. And so and you have to remember that, regardless. We had a quick story, but one time, cul-de-sac, 10 houses, two were school board members. We said, if we get the person in the house between us, we can control the whole district. So it's a numbers game if you get down to it. But I hate to see people talk about, frankly, I represent this city or that city. As a trustee, regardless how you're elected, your job is to represent the district of Capistrano Unified. And so I hope you people will remember that regardless of what happens. In terms of a comment, I have to agree that having everything in one election on November, I think, taking nothing away from the ability of the electorate in this area, but I think it would be a little confusing. I really do. And I think that if the dollars are more in June, as I gather from what I hear, less November. So from my point of view, I don't think that the dollars are dollars, and I know we're all short dollars in the educational process, but if that's what the people want to do, to spend the dollars because they want to change the math representation, then that's a decision that they can make. I do think, from what I've heard tonight, and the questions have been answered, that the population through surveys and all that can be done if the board so chooses, or we so choose, can be done prior to June. So I do not think that is a stumbling block in order to make our decision. The only thing that has come up tonight, I did get just this afternoon the letter from the district attorney, as well as a letter from the petitioners, and so that it hasn't given me a lot of time. My mail comes late now. The Postal Service is saving money, so we... And so anyway, seriously, normally I used to get it at 11 o'clock, now it comes about 3-something. I was looking for income or checks, and it didn't happen, so I didn't... But the good news is I got two bills. So, but I'm just saying, the point of time I've had to review some of the questions questions, even though both sides have done an outstanding job in trying to get into my head what they want. And if I might, agree with me on one thing. Everybody seems to agree they want to do it, right or wrong, by trustee area, whether they want to do it in June or November, and I can't speak for the present board, but is that a true statement or not?
We'll need to check that out.
Other than McCormick. Yeah, there are a few who may not. And so I just want to make sure. So I'm trying to keep my own personal bias out of the whole thing, which is not easy, but do what I think is best for this district, which I don't reside in.
I think I'm the last one to ask a question. And this handout that we had from the petitioner, it talks about the CVRA that was enacted in 2002, the civil rights issues. And it says all districts that are left by trustee areas are immune from CVRA liability. Could you shed some light on that for us, please? I think that's new for us. I don't think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, I think that the petitioners are focusing you on some litigation that occurred up in the Central Valley recently, in some of the districts there, where there's a large minority population, and the minority population was not well represented on some of those school district governing boards. And so there's a group of lawyers that began to initiate litigation, and at least one or more, I think more, of those school districts decided to go ahead and just go to an at-large voting methodology, or I'm sorry, by trustee area methodology. But basically what it is that under the California Voting Rights Act, if there is a barrier to minorities getting elected to the governing board, or there's some dilution of minority votes going on, then that would violate the act. Whether or not that's the case here, we don't know. We've not heard evidence about that really one way or the other, and that evidence hasn't been collected to my knowledge, so I don't know that we have really any good evidence on that issue, but that's the legal question, is whether or not there's barriers to getting, for minority candidates to get elected to the board. So I just think that issue was kind of thrown out there, but I'm not sure we actually have any evidence one way or the other on that issue here.
All right. Then what is the pleasure of this committee? Is there further discussion amongst ourselves that you want to go through? Mr. Kinsler has a comment, then we need to come back to the committee discussion.
I have one more question.
2 points. One, there seems to have been some suggestion amongst the committee members tonight. Well, you can just start the process anytime you want. Aside from being presumptuous that you would pretend to know what the preferences of the district voters would be, it's a very expensive process. Someone suggested, well, you just run over to CSU Fullerton and they can come up with trustee areas. Well, when you're talking about trustee areas, that's a different thing than questioning or looking at the issue of, are the areas as they're currently drawn legal? Yes, you can update those statistics, except that the bottom line is going to be the decennial census. And that's what our demographer is looking at, and that's what a decision should be based on.
Okay, well, thank you. That'll be...
And the second point is that if the matter goes to the electorate in a June election,
okay,
and does not get approved, that's a $500,000 expense on top of a November election that is already that.
Okay. Well, those arguments, I think we've already heard. Since he had a couple minutes, do you have a minute response or 2 minute response? I think we need to be fair and equitable.
Thank you very much. I have a really big mouth, so I can probably do this.
Is the
meat at all?
Mike, get the mic on. Just a minute or two. No. Okay, thank you.
I pushed the button, but I'm...
It's the switch up here.
Now can you hear me?
Got it.
Okay, I just want to point out that when we did add into our PowerPoint that only districts elected by trustees are immune from the CVRA liability, that comes directly from an article on a CSBA website. So that is an opinion that has been given by CSBA, and so I think that's important to take into consideration because, as I mentioned earlier, we can't afford any more lawsuits. There's a couple of things that I think are very important here. One is the cost of the election is not something that we as petitioners are taking lightly. We do understand that, and that's why we were all very supportive of the possibility of going forward for a waiver. Most of the other school districts statewide that are making changes in the way they elect their trustees are doing so by waiver. They are choosing to do this and save that money, and the state, to the best of my knowledge, has granted every one of those waivers so that they can save that money, and there is definitely precedence there that this could be done, and we would be supportive of that.
What would be the waiver?
The waiver of Ed Code that requires this to be an election,
okay.
So that the change could be made without it going
without
through
an election.
Thank you. The only other thing, too, is that I totally agree with Mr. McCormick that when you are a trustee of a school district, regardless of how you are elected, you absolutely represent the entire district. You absolutely represent every single student, and your decisions have to be made in the best interest. The reason that we are proposing a bi-trustee is because our district is so large. If we had 10,000 students in our district, this wouldn't even be an issue. It would be a small district where people would have an opportunity to know all the trustees before they elect them. In a district this large, they don't have an opportunity to know those trustees, and they don't have the opportunity to elect them. By breaking it down, they can get a chance to know them. But if you live in Trustee Area 1 and your children go into Trustee Area 2 to go to school, that's a good chance then that the trustee representing you does that too, and that means that they are going to advocate for schools in more than one trustee area. They aren't going to only think about where they live. And let's face it, you're all school board members or former school board members. The majority of the decisions that you make affect all children. Very few decisions are about one school or one child or one group. Most of them are about all children, and that's why people want to run for school board, because they care about all
children.
Thank
you so much. I appreciate that. Okay. What's the pleasure of the board in terms of further discussion amongst ourselves? Are we ready to... Mrs. Beneke?
I'm ready to make a motion, if that would help you.
Okay, let me just clarify.
Okay,
We have four choices. We have one to approve the proposal with an election in June. We have another with a proposal to an election in November. We have an option to continue the public hearing to another date, which would probably be in October the 21st, which will be our organizational meeting. And then we have the option to deny the proposal altogether. And if you have a third or a fifth one, we'll work on the wording. But if you will give me the concept, I will read you the recommended wording so that we get everything included in the proposal. So if
I'd like your first suggestion. I move that we move ahead with an election, with the June date being the time of the election. I do feel that when the voters sign the petition, they want signing a petition with the thought in mind of someday, somewhere in the far distant future, in the far, far away, moving ahead with this. They were seeing an immediacy, and I think this committee needs to respond to that.
Okay, let me read you the wording for your approval, and then I'll take a motion and a second after that.
Okay, so in other words, you're suggesting my wording of my motion be what you're going to read.
Correct. In accordance with Ed Code Section 5019, the Orange County Committee on School District Organization adopts the resolution to approve the proposal to change the method of elections from the from trustee area method to the by trustee area method for the Capistrano Unified School District, and orders an election to be held on Tuesday, June 8, 2010. That's Mrs. Beneke. Is that appropriate for you?
That's fine. In other words, we don't have to discuss or address as a committee right now the redesign of trustee areas. This doesn't need to be part of this decision at all at this point.
Well, I think that's up to the committee, but if you were going to do that, I would suggest that you do that by a separate motion, not
okay.
Try to join the
All right.
committee.
I will second Mrs. Beneke's motion.
Well, did you, was that motion approved?
That is fine, Madam Chairman.
Okay, so Mrs. Beneke made the motion, and Mrs. Hennis seconded that motion. Okay. Is there any further discussion related to this motion, or any discussion at all? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Opposed.
Oh, we need a roll call vote. You're absolutely right. Ms. David, would you call the roll, please?
Sheila Beneke.
Aye.
Shirley Carey.
Aye.
Mary Furman.
Aye.
Sheila Hennis.
Aye.
Karen Freeman.
No.
Joanne Purcell.
Aye.
Dean McCormick.
Aye.
James Reed.
Aye.
Virginia Wilson.
Aye.
8 ayes, 1 no.
Motion is passed.
What's that?
Realigning of trustee areas with this?
I think we would have to put that on an agenda for a different meeting. It's not on the current agenda to take any
okay.
action on that. So
I really don't understand at what point that needs to be decided.
Well, I think if you've moved to put this on it for a June election, then that issue needs to be taken up as soon as possible, because again, we don't know how long that process is going to take.
Okay. Does that become our item for discussion, or is that another, is that your item, or the CS?
It depends. I mean, any of three people or entities can bring this to the fore. Petitioners, citizens can bring it with a petition. The board can move for a resolution, or the county committee can take that up on its own initiative, but we just have to do it when it's properly agendized.
My question is, what is the next step for us? Do we need to have a meeting before the October 21st meeting to do that, or is that, and the committee should make that decision if that's the case, or would October 21st, if the county committee wants to do it, is that soon enough?
Well, I mean, again, I would just suggest that there's time is of the essence at this point, because we don't know how long this process is going to take, and I would just suggest that it be done sooner rather than later. So,
what are the comments from the committee then in terms of that?
Madam Chairman,
if the state board granted the waiver, then there would not be an election required.
The present school board could ask for a waiver.
Correct.
And based on what we are discussing the vote tonight, then knowing what's going to happen, they could ask for a waiver to the state board to go through the process that we just voted on without an election in June. Is that correct?
Right, they would be requesting from the state board a waiver of the election requirement. If that was granted by the state board, there would not be an election.
That is an option of the present board.
Correct.
Dean, I do want to say, though, the state board takes a while to get things on their agenda, so it may be
June.
It may be too long of a process at this point in time to get it on the state agenda. It would be several, I think January, February is probably the earliest that could go on the state board agenda. So that may have some qualifications as well. Yeah.
Mrs. Hennis?
Thank you. I had a question. If the board did decide to do a waiver, can they go around to make it effective November 2010? I mean, at the 2010 election, it would be by trustee area?
Right. If the board granted that waiver, then it would be effective in November 2010.
So
those
three candidates up for election would run by trustee area.
If assuming that the board granted the waiver in time,
but timing is not good for that, really.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how long the state board would take. We don't necessarily have a.
I think we're
definitely
late. And what I have seen, information that was given to the school board shows that they're late in getting the information onto the November board already.
Right, they can't get it onto the November.
So you're looking
at least January.
January, and then it's not doable, really. Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Did you have more? I can't see in this direction. I apologize. I can't see people's faces. All right. Any further discussion at all that you want to bring forward?
Mrs. Chairman?
Mr. Reed.
I just have a statement. This petition was brought to us about the people of this community, and I'm a strong advocate of one vote, one person. And it sounds like there's a possibility that the right of the people to vote on whether or not they want to do it this way or not can be circumvented. I don't like that. I don't think that's fair to the people of this community to circumvent that, what the petition is really about in my mind, and that is to decide whether they want to elect their trustees by area or whether they want to keep it the way it is. And I would hope that a June election does take place.
Any other comments?
I just, in regard to the waiver and what Mr. Reed said, I'm concerned if the board would go ahead with the waiver, because we've heard from people here saying that Mr. Winston, when they asked what about the constituents, he said, what about them? And that is not what this county committee has voted for. So I'm hoping that the constituents in the school district do get a chance to vote on this in June of 2010.
Staff, is there any further information that you need from us? Oh, Mrs. Furman was asking for a question, but let me ask the staff, is there more information that you need from us?
Just to clarify again with regard to changing of the trustee areas, it's not necessarily the county committee's duty to take that process on. As I said before, that process can be brought forward either by the board resolution, by a citizen's petition, or the county committee's initiative. So I didn't want to somehow suggest that it was only the county committee that could initiate that process.
What is the board's wishes for that? My general sense would be it would be a good idea to have it on the agenda that we will have on October 21st, so that if we want to discuss it, it will be an option for us. But hopefully the board or someone else may have gone forward prior to that date, but I'd like to have that as a backup time if we need to do that.
And also, there is, a public hearing requirement, as there is for this process.
Okay.
So we would need to do a similar hearing as we're doing tonight. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
If you can make sure that we have that all laid out for the 21st so that we know what steps are involved, that would be very helpful.
We'll make sure that's on the agenda for the 21st.
I can't.
We will make sure that's on the agenda for the 21st.
Mrs. Furman.
Yes. I just wanted to say, for those who might wonder about my dissent, I preferred the election to be at the later time frame. My concern, as you had expressed earlier, was the intensity, I'll call it, of the issues, the important issues of changing the method, but also then having adequate opportunity for candidates, all candidates, to run well put together campaigns. I wish you well, and that's my greatest concern, is that, as also he expressed, I thought, quite well, you want to be sure you get the candidates that you really can live with as elected representatives, no matter what method you get them by. So I wish you well in that regard. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that we probably have brought that part of the meeting to a conclusion. I think all of us on this committee have children as our primary goal, and I think that our vote is, and hopefully will be what's best for kids in this particular district. That will be, that's where we are in our own districts and have been for years and years. So. There is an opportunity now for anybody who chooses to make a presentation from the public. We have a total of 10 minutes. Do you have speakers listed at all, Mr. Wilson? Is there anyone who wants to share more with us that's not on the agenda? It would be about other things? That's very good. You can all go home then. I just want to make the appointment that the county committee meeting is going to be the 21st in the OCDE boardroom, and that will be an organizational meeting. But we'll,
can I ask you one question?
Meeting adjourned.